What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Claire. Claire wrote, "What if the reason you get bug bites is because invisible unicorns are poking you? But it would only happen when you are rude to them and bump into them." Thank you, Claire. Folks at home, have you ever gotten one of those mysterious bug bites, and you just had no idea where it came from? Do you think any of them came from invisible unicorns? For me, that'd be worth the itch. Almost. Now, we've got another question to add on from a patron named Beau.
Hello, my name is Beau. My What If World question is, what if everyone in What If World had a town meeting? Goodbye. I love your show.
Great idea, Beau. It's probably a good time for one. You see, a few weeks ago, Lucian asked, what if Alabaster Zero became a flower farmer? And at the end of that story, the pollen from those magic flowers turned people invisible. Now it looks like everyone in What If World has ended up invisible.
That probably explains why you've been ignoring me.
Oh, hey, JF Cat, I presume?
You presume correctly. And I'm here to meow out Evan, who's 9 years old. I'm his favorite character, and his favorite things are reading, writing, and using his iPad to listen to music in What If World. His home is Lubbock, Texas, and he's an only child.
Thanks, Evan, and you know, 9 is my favorite number. I hope it's a wonderful year for you. Now let's listen up to our unseen friends at their town meeting, as we find out what if bug bites were from invisible unicorns, and what if everyone in What If World had a town meeting. Your story starts after a quick break.
Order, order, please. I'd like to get this meeting started,
said Pixicato, acting president of What If World. She was a pixie child with thick, curly, colorful hair cut short and shining wings to match. Only you couldn't see any of that right now. All you could see were her teeth and the magic braces on them.
Please continue, strange talking mouse,
said a voice that sounded like Hungry Bungry, but who could really tell?
I am not just a talking mouth. My magic braces kept my teeth from turning invisible. Tis I, your president, Pixicato.
You said it, baby girl.
We are so proud of you, daughter,
said Pixicato's parents, Sprite Alright and Fair Elise.
Yes, thank you. But if you could all stop interrupting for a moment, as you can see, we...
Wait, did you say to start interrupt? Ow! Something bit me,
interrupted Dracomax, the colossal dragon, before being interrupted in turn by an invisible bite.
Maybe someone just wanted you to start paying attention.
Well, I respond better to positive reinforcement.
Then here goes, Dracomax,
said Pixicato, taking a deep, calming breath before continuing.
Did you, perchance, breathe out a magic dragon breath that turned everyone invisible? I'm not angry, and you will not be punished. I just wish to learn what happened so I may help.
Wow, I feel very reassured. Thank you.
And
now I'm ready for you to tell me why I am invisible and who is going to fix it.
Does anyone else here on the gazebo know what happened?
And if you were looking out over Wentral Park, you would see the massive covered outdoor stage looking completely deserted, except for one pair of talking teeth. This was the gazebo, and the countless rows of seats surrounding the wooden stage were filled with invisible people of all shapes and sizes. In an emergency, you could flee below the stage, inside a boat that was even bigger on the inside, which would rise up and fly everyone in What If World away. But they weren't at that level of emergency just yet.
Anyone? All confessions, no matter how ridiculous, are welcome.
It was at that moment that Alabaster Zero raised his hand. He knew it was his flower pollen that turned people invisible, and it was time to face the music.
Just a reminder that if anyone out there is raising their hand, I cannot see it because we're all invisible.
Oh yeah,
mumbled Alabaster. By the murmurs of the crowd, a few other people had forgotten too.
Hungry Bungry forgot.
Robot Llama totally knew that.
Oh, what a waste of a manicure.
Alabaster cleared his throat. But before he could speak,
I am sorry. Dracomax feigned ignorance because it usually gets me out of trouble,
said the dragon suddenly.
I know why we are invisible, though you may find the truth very startling and entertaining.
Huh? Grunted Alabaster, but Dracomax was already telling his story.
It all started 1,000 years ago, when Abacus P. Grumbler was just a baby who could talk, and I was just a baby dragon who could also talk.
"'Tis I, Babycus P. Grumbler,"
said Baby Abacus, doing a bomb scoot over to me in his diaper.
"And I demand that you give me a turn drooling on my teething tower."
"Baby Max will never stop teething, for I am a mighty dragon,"
Baby Max said, referring to Maxelf in the third person, as silly baby dragons sometimes do.
"But you do not look like a dragon. You look like a robot."
"No one tells Baby Max who Baby Max is. I am a dragon, and someday all shall fear my mighty breath."
Of course, all that came out was motor oil, as Baby Max had not grown into a mighty Dracomax body yet. You see, back in episode 4, it is revealed that many robots are built with a dragon button on them. Only, I had not found mine yet.
"Well, Baby Max, if you are indeed a dragon, maybe you should have a more dragony name,"
said Baby Kiss.
"But Baby Max is my designation. I have been programmed with maximum baby qualities and to fill diapers to the maximum level."
"That's incredible.
Witness my diaper filling."
"I'm sorry, how does this story relate to everyone becoming invisible 1,000 years later?
"Isn't it obvious?"
"No, it's all diapers."
"Then maybe someone should stop interrupting Dracomax."
Sorry.
"And also apologize."
"I just did."
"In dragon language, apologize means give pizza."
"Just finish the story."
"Fine, fine."
"Wow,"
said Baby Cuss.
"That's the fullest diaper I've ever seen."
And we're skipping the diaper stuff.
"So you see, if Baby Max changes his name, he will be turning his back on his parents' programming."
"Now I understand your dilemma."
"Little did we know that Majir, the Roborcerer, who ran the daycare, was just then changing our diapers because we were distracted by our baby bottles. And while she was freshening my bum-bum, she overheard our conversation."
"If Baby Max feels like the right name, great. If not, what's something that does sound great to you?"
"Hush, baby. Stop squirming,"
complained Majir the Roborcerer, struggling with a fussy baby cuss. Whose turn it was now?
"I think I wish to be called Dwacko Max."
And thus, Baby Dracomax was born. Or so I thought.
"Not on my watch, which is also my face, because I have a watch face,"
said Majir, pulling out her sorceress screwdriver.
"Turn into a drake one day, and you will have to stay that way."
"She's trying to curse us, Dracomax. Run! I'll distract her."
Dracomax ran, crawled, as fast as his forearm legs could carry me, while Babykiss cast a spell of his own.
"I only know a spell of we. I'll try invisibility."
Babykiss did his best, but his invisibility spell struck me only a moment after Majir's curse. So now you understand why the invisibility was because of Dracomax.
No, we don't. That story didn't explain anything.
Oh, did Max. I totally gear it now,
said Randall Radbot, nodding along to Draco Max's story.
After ye got stuck as a dragon, which was apparently who you'd always bebop been, your robo-dragon button got turned invisible by Babycus's thousand-year-old spell.
But a spell that old, said Verilise, her eyebrows raising. A spell powered by love and innocence would have only grown in power over time.
And Dracomax, did you recently dispel that magic by pressing your invisible robot button?
Asked Zizi, a young wizard in training.
Yes. Dracomax woke up yesterday feeling like a robot. It had not happened for so long, but I searched for my button, and there it was. And when Dracomax pressed it, all of What If World must have turned invisible. This is Dracomax's fault for spending one day as a robot.
That kind of makes sense.
Dracomax, said Alabaster Zero, raising his voice over the crowd. I've learned that we don't just have to be one thing all the time. I'm usually a detective, but now I know that sometimes I'm a flower farmer too. And I know this isn't your fault, because
it's mine,
cried Mama Jamma, clamoring her way down to the stage.
Boo, what's that then?
Mama Jamma, cried Pixicato with some asperity. We are trying to move on to the solution stage of the meeting.
Oh, it's fine,
said Mama Jamma, pushing through one invisible person after the next.
Nothing ever gets figured out in the first 10 minutes of a story. Ouch! Hey, no biting bugs. It's not fair if you're invisible and I can't chew you.
Fine, invisible bugs. Could you please let Mama Jamma pass?
Thank you. Yes, you see, I did it. And I can't keep it secret any longer. I should have never started that excellent reality show that everyone's watching called My Magic House. Wednesdays at 8.
Welcome back to My Magic House. Will our contestants wow the judges with their magic inventions for the home? Or will the houses themselves achieve sentience and try to take over the world? Who knows? Now let's meet our judges.
Hi, I'm Mama Jamma, CEO of the Bakeroo Factory, and I've worked at the cutting edge of modern home magic for the last 12 years. And I'm joined, of course, by
Fred the Dog, first time tuna fish cabin owner. Why am I here again?
Because you're popular, despite your complete lack of experience.
Oh yeah, then there's this third guy.
That's Guy Thurdington to you.
Who?
Guy Thurdington the Third, premier gadabout and naysayer.
But you're also a titan in the interior design world.
Oh, you get bigger when you visit other worlds? I wish I could go to Stick World and get smaller.
Why do you say that?
Because then the sticks will be giant.
Mama Jamma, your story is spending a lot of time on the hosts. Is this just an advertisement for your new show?
No. I was just getting to the invisibility part.
But we're back with My Magic House.
Playing every Wednesday at 8.
Mama Jamma.
7 Central.
Now let's meet our first contestant. Hailing from the mythical land known as the Stables, it's Rox the Alicorn, which is a unicorn with wings, I understand.
Oh, he appears to be levitating some sort of long canvas tarp with ropes on each end. Maybe using magic mind powers.
No, I think he's invisible.
Excuse me, can you turn your invisibility off?
The cameras need to capture your devastated reaction when I decry this pile of trash you've just dragged in.
Snot trash?
Snot trash. That's why my daddy'd never let me in the bathroom.
I vote yes to your invention.
But I haven't even told you about the horse hammock.
Oh, alliteration. Always an absolute affirmative for me.
You two are the worst judges reality television has ever had.
I think it was somewhere in the middle.
Excuse me. Could I talk about me horse hammock?
Oh, sorry. I keep forgetting you're here because you're still invisible.
Oh, right. That's me smart hone. It makes me invisible around non-magical creatures, especially when I'm nervous.
Now that's an invention. I vote yes on your smart home. Though we should work on the branding. Is it a stone? Is it a phone?
Does it smell like snot trash? Cause this hammock thing just smells like horse.
Fred, please stop smelling the contestants.
Yeah, I'll take out my smart home so you can take a look.
Take a lick? Thank you.
That did a turn of events surprising no one who's ever seen this show. Fred has eaten one of the inventions.
I'm sorry. Guy 13-10 has already invested in a dog food business. I'm out.
That's fine, because I was actually here to show the horse hammock. See, horse creatures aren't meant to sit due to the strain it puts on our organs and spine, and yet, in most homes and stadiums in What If World, we're offered the same cushions and benches as other quadrupeds. Thus...
Hey, peoples. Oh, I don't feel so good.
Well, yeah, Fred. You ate my invisibility stone.
Oh, I think I'm gonna give it back to you soon.
Nah, you can keep it.
Oh, poor puppy. But the show must go on.
No, Mama Gemma. You must carry on without me.
Okay, I was planning to.
Don't cry, third guy. You get to be second guy now.
It's Guy 13-10. Second guy was my father.
And dear Rox, though we've only just met, I will always carry a part of you with me. At least until I get back from the bathroom.
Okay, just remember not to flash those things down
what?
The toilet.
I can't hear you. I'm too busy talking over you.
Water will activate its unicorn powers.
A corn shower? What a great idea. You should invent that next time.
So you see, I'm to blame for everyone's invisibility. Ow!
Bugs, I thought you were going to stop biting us until...
It's not Bugs. It's me, Rox the Alicorn. This stadium doesn't have a single horse hammock, so there's nowhere for us to horse sit.
And yes, although the gazebo had room enough for all, it was invented by people from this side of What If World.
Who don't know anything about suspending horse creatures and magic weightlessness hammocks for a horse sit that feels like floating.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You should invent that for next time.
I invented that for last time.
That's not how I remember it.
I'm sorry to interrupt this argument, in which Mama Gemma is clearly in the wrong.
You're right. On the next episode of My Magic House, Mama Gemma will give a heartfelt apology. This Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Mama Gemma!
8 a.m. unicorn time!
How does that story reveal anything other than your unprofessional treatment of Rox?
I let Fred flush an invisibility stone into the sewer.
Of course, said ZZ. And our magic-powered water filtration system must have broken down the stone, so whoever drank the water would turn invisible. Ouch!
Oh, excuse me,
said Hernosity, yet another invisible unicorn in the stands.
No, excuse me. It was thoughtless of us to ask all of you unicorns, alicorns, pegasuses, and horse creatures to attend without installing a single horse hammock. But at least now we know the cause of the disaster.
The disaster is my fault,
cried Alabaster Zero.
It was my magic flower pollen that turned everyone invisible. That's what happens when you plant seeds while invisible on your birthday, apparently.
No, Alabaster, it was my fault,
said President Pixicato, earning the biggest collective gasp yet.
Gasp?
Huh? Hey, what a twist.
Just as I always suspected.
Alabaster, you just confessed to the crime yourself.
Only to get your daughter to confess to hers, Feralise.
It's true. I tried to cast an Invisi-Smile spell on my braces, but I got it backwards. So my teeth stayed visible, but everyone else disappeared. I've been trying to work up the courage to confess this entire...
It's entirely my fault,
said the Laminator, a time-traveling robot from the future.
I went a few weeks into the past to take a vacation, and I accidentally lost my cloaking device. And I used it to sell all of you invisible cloaks,
said Grandma Om, owner of Cramazon, and the wealthiest woman in What If World.
But I'm not wearing an invisible cloak.
Then it's working.
And one by one, everyone on the gazebo reached with their hands, if they had hands, around their necks, if they had necks, finding the invisible clasp
that held their cloaks on. And as one Whatifian after another winked back into view, the visible ones reached out to help the invisible ones, especially the horse creatures, until everyone could be seen again.
So, we can blame it all on big business, without changing our behavior in any way, just as I always suspected.
Alabaster, you just accused my daughter.
Only to get Grandma to confess to her crime. You see, in the game of crime checkers, you always need to think 3 touchdowns ahead. Swish.
Perhaps Cramazon was the biggest part of the problem, but maybe we all made it worse. We must each take responsibility for our own actions and...
Okay, bye.
So long.
Good meeting.
Yeah, who knew this gazebo could hold so many cloaks?
Wait, where are you going? You should each carry out your own trash. We aren't equipped
to... You know, I can dispose of those cloaks for you. Just let me convert this giant emergency rescue ship into a Cramazon warehouse.
Not a chance, Mamma Gemma. I may not know how we're going to dispose of this mountain of invisible fabric, but I know enough not to trust you.
Suit yourself. Oh, maybe I could make them into invisible suits.
Oh no, Crema Olm. We're not falling for any more of your cheap products. Clothes need to be visible. That's the whole point.
Then I'll invent a hole pointer that points to nearby holes so you don't fall in.
I'm listening.
Oh, bother.
The end.
Hey, everybody got re-visible. Thanks to Claire and Beau for their questions, and I hope you all enjoyed your story. Folks, think of a time you admitted to a mistake. How did you feel after sharing the truth? What did you do to try to repair and move forward? I also noticed that that story had a lot of people forgetting to listen. What helps you pay attention when someone else is sharing? How could the people of What If World work to ensure that everyone is seen and heard? Talk with your grown-up about it, and who knows, it might inspire your next What If question. And when it does, get their permission to email hello@whatifworldpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that kindness begins with us simply noticing each other. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.